Well, Stan White, I'm a kid at Christmas. You know my affection for your team that you played for with the Colts. And still, to our generation, one of our heroes is not only you, but your teammate, Burt Jones.
And Burt. No, I wasn't a hero. I was just one of those.
I should have let you guy, introduce you know? Burt. How would you introduce Burt?
One of the greatest quarterback of the 70s.
Absolutely.
I've said that time and time again.
You need to raise your bar.
You had Bradshaw, you had Stabler. I mean, you had a lot of guys that are looked at, but I've always said that to me, Burt was the best quarterback of that era, and if he wouldn't have got hurt, he'd be in the Hall of Fame. Yeah. I mean, there's no doubt about that. I think that's the way. Somebody asked me earlier today, Burt, you know, because you were a very good athlete. You could run. You ran a lot early in your career.
Yeah.
Your ribs paid for it. You know?
Yes, they did.
I remember that first playoff game up in Pittsburgh. He had like a cast on his body, you know. But could you run the read option and those types of things?
Oh, I think I could. That would be a fun game, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would be.
Especially when – because if you get rid of the ball, they can't hit you.
Yeah,
I mean, it is amazing. It's wonderful. And I think it's all great. I mean, I think it
Well, you're a quarterback. You would be. Us linebackers don't think it's so great.
Well, I think it's good for the game. I mean, you and I both know, even though you were a defensive player and damn good and smart and made everybody work in the right direction, but it's our offense that makes the game sell.
Oh,
how do you like
defense that? Defense that wins championships.
More so than passing? More so than passing now, Burt?
I said it's the offense in general.
I thought you meant that particular
Burt would love
offense.
Today's game.
I would
you
love
to touch the quarterback. You can't hit the receivers over the middle. You throw the ball 60% of the time.
He did
some trash talking. Late in my career, I got traded, and we played against each other up in Detroit.
And he knew all my signals, so he'd say something, and I'd go, get him out of here.
But he'd be talking back. His line to me was, well, Stan, you were in the right place, and you still didn't make the play.
So you were trash talking for trash talking?
Yeah, he was.
No,
he
personally, was. I mean, we weren't very vocal. I mean, it was all among ourselves. It wasn't the
get up in your face type.
We had more fun with it than what I would call trash talking.
Besides the obvious talent level on your teams, what made your team – so special, Burt? Was it camaraderie, chemistry, whatever you call it?
I really think there are two things that made it so special, and that has derivatives from it. I think on offense, Ted Marchibrode, on defense, Maxie Bone.
Right.
And I think from that, I don't know if you know it or not, but I wouldn't Stan directed the whole defense.
Absolutely.
And because of that, and look, they were very average. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I mean, look at Stan. I mean, he's a great guy, but, I mean, statue, how tall are you?
6'1".
6'1". Played at 235.
No, not even that, 225.
And he wasn't fast.
No.
But collectively, as an 11-man unit, I mean, they put together more sacks than our defensive line. They weren't really big statue kind of guys. I mean, you had John Dutton, who was big. You had Freddie Cook, who was fast. You had Mike Barnes, that was a bull. And you had rookie Irman, who was also a bull. But together, if they worked together, if Stan and Maxie and everybody got their plays going, I mean, they were a cohesive unit. Same way with us on offense. I mean, we weren't a lot of great players. I mean, but together we worked and were very effective.
And off the field, guys were real close on that team.
Oh, yeah.
They were real close. They did a lot of things
together.
That's
what I remember.
They were crazy.
Together, right?
What saved me was I got married earlier than these guys did, so I had to be a little bit more conservative than they were.
I mean, you're acting – you think somebody in Baltimore is going to hear this?
Yeah.
I mean, I can tell more stories about you. Oh, let's see. Where do we want to start? No.
I just don't want to go to Joe Irman's pool.
But
that's all.
For our generation, I'm 55. For our generation of fan, we were a little younger than the Unitas crew and that guy. You know, we followed him when I was a kid. Then your group galvanized us in Baltimore. You had to be aware of that. What you did for the fan base.
Oh, absolutely. We brought in the next generation of Baltimore fans. You know, because the people, justifiably so, that were truly bitter for the things that happened in the exodus of the old Colts, i.e. John Unitas and all the players. I mean, granted, objectively, they were waning in their years. I mean, it was certainly in the twilight when they made them all move. And had they used a little better tact in how they got rid of them, there wouldn't have been this division of people in Baltimore. But it wasn't. That's the way it was. That's the way it happened. So it took a little settling time before we can come back. And then so when we did, you're right. The old guys didn't like them because of the way they treated, justifiably
Absolutely.
So, and I concur with them. They were not treated well. But the new guys was a new generation, and here we go. Let's go rally.
Bert was our leader.
Oh,
he
absolutely.
Was. When Ted got fired, you know, after his first year, Bert rallied the troops, and he was the one. He's the only one who really had any leverage, you know, and he put his –
That was the craziest thing. I called Pete Rozelle and said, we're not going to play this Sunday if they don't rehire
right.
the coach. And Stan was way up into, you know, his legal game by then, and he said, you can't do this.
You called Pete?
Absolutely.
And he took your call and said,
absolutely.
Hey,
he said, you can't
him?
Do that. I said, we've got a real issue here. I mean, you got a bunch of
we weren't going to play.
We were not going to play. We had pulled. My brother was a labor lawyer in Houston at the time. He said, Bert, this is what you call a wildcat strike. I'm not sure you can do it. And it could be really bad, but it could be. You can make it happen.
It is what it is.
Bert was an icon
no
of Baltimore
question
football
about it.
And should be more recognized than he is.
I totally agree.
I wish y'all would invite me to a game. You know, I've never been to the new
we'll
stadium.
You're
kidding
we'll
me.
Get you
we
back
will
to
invite
a
you. We
we'll
will definitely invite you to a game. We broadcast the games.
Oh, I know. I've heard him. I listen to it on the radio.
With what he just said, take me one step further. What did Mr. Rozelle say to you that got it done?
He just said, hold on, Bert. Don't do anything yet. Let's get all this back together. Let's see what's going on. And I talked to the mayor, Donald Schaefer, at the time. I said, Mayor, I'm going to tell everybody not to come because he says, whoa, whoa, whoa. And then so it was tenuous was the
tenuous.
Right term. It was scary there for a while. But, I mean, we kind of hung it all out, and it was – quite an unusual event. The only wildcat strike in the history in the NFL for a day and a half.
Last question. Joe Flacco, have you seen enough of him?
I have, and I like him. I mean, I've been saying this for years. Anytime somebody would ask, and I doubt anybody's listening, because it's me, not because of your radio.
Oh, no. They'll listen to you. Trust
but
me.
I think he's an excellent talent, and I've always liked his tenacity on the field. I like his demeanor. He moves himself well. He's moved the team well. He's an excellent thrower. He's got great arm strength, and I think he's a good player. And I've said all along, what they have to do is get him a supporting cast. Number one, a running game.
Yeah.
And then get him the tools at wide receiver, and here you are in the Super Bowl when they do it.
Bert, thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
It's a great seeing you again, and you are an icon in Baltimore.
Well, I appreciate it. I certainly had a great time, and I consider Baltimore my second home.